Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always on Sunday nights during the Big Brother OTT season, I'm here with you to discuss what is going down in the Big Brother house with the live feed correspondents. First is a man who we are very happy to see is okay after getting in a car accident yesterday. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Jordan. Luckily, I got the license plate number of that truck. At least I think I did. So hopefully we get some recompense for some cowardice and all things are right with the world.
Let us know if you need us to show up with bats.
Yeah, well, Twitter was, I posted something about it on Twitter. And Twitter, as it is wont to do, had some great responses. Like, it was definitely Chrissy's boyfriend. It was Shane. So, I'm gonna be sleeping with one eye open. I think these are valid concerns.
Well, Shane isn't too far from you, is he?
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
It's not close, but it's certainly manageable, I think. Depends on how deep the vengeance lies, Jordan.
He said he hiked 1,000 miles to break up with his girlfriend. So who says he wouldn't be willing to drive and hike all the way up to Silver Spring and crash into your car just to sabotage you, Alex? So we will get into that as that story develops more in the coming weeks. Next is a man who is getting ready for a takeover tomorrow on the So You Think You Can podcast competition. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. I'm preparing my army of robots. Rob made a big mistake. He's going to let me take over a show. And you know what happens once you let a virus into your computer? It just spreads everywhere. I'm going to take over.
Sounds like a venereal disease.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. All right. And finally is a man who enjoys dancing to NSYNC as much as Shelby does. Brent Walkamot, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
Wasn't that amazing? That really was. If you guys haven't seen the clip of Shelby dancing to NSYNC music, Bye Bye Bye, and then somebody overlaid the track of Bye 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 on top of it so you could actually like dance along with Shelby. She had some great moves. I almost swore, but I didn't. I almost said she has some great effing moves, and I said, oh no, I can't say that. It's rap.
And then Lance Bass tweeted his support, said, favorite HOH. Yeah. And then when Shelby got out of the house, she died because she saw Lance Bass tweeted something about it.
All right.
Oh, wow. Did Lance Bass actually tweet that?
Yeah. Wait, I'm just going to make that up.
Oh, my God. I thought you just made that up.
No.
Wow.
Get with the program, Jordan.
That's amazing. That's so great. Wow.
Yeah, I would think it was really cool if I was in the house. And
yeah, absolutely.
I would do some silly boy band something as my CD because, yeah, people would enjoy it. Or they wouldn't.
I feel like you're more of a 98 degrees person, Alex. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely not. No, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and that's probably the extent of my. That's as deep as I dipped my toes into that pool, Jordan.
Okay. Well, I'm more
you're
of
tearing
a one,
up my heart, Alex.
I'm more of a One Direction guy myself. That's neither here nor there. Just to set things up for you guys, we're live on robiswebsite.com. We've got the chat room going on robiswebsite.com. If you want to jump in on that chat, chatwing.com/happyhour, or you can go to the show page on robiswebsite.com, and you will see the chat embedded below the YouTube video. You can send your questions in for the show as well if you want to get those in via Twitter. You can tweet me. I am @JordanParhar. Use hashtag Happy Hour, and we will get into those later on in the show. And just a heads up for you guys, if you want to keep up with the So You Think You Can podcast competition, where Rob is looking to find a new live feed correspondent, there's a competition being held right now between Brent, Alex, and Taryn. They each have their own team. They've drafted their own prospective live feed correspondents. It's been really fun so far. Team Brent went on Thursday. Alex went yesterday. Taryn's going to go tomorrow. So if you want to get those podcasts, you can go to robiswebsite.com/rahapups.
Yes. I'm sorry. Oh, I thought you were done. Oh my God.
Yes, they are on Rahapups.
Yes. Right?
Okay. So you can go to rahapupswebsite.com to vote for these people. And I just want to say, for those people who are always complaining that, you know, Rob is a podcast, the live feeders panel is all three. Oh, I was going to say straight white males, but that's definitely not me. It's three white males. You have a chance to vote for anybody you want, and there is a large diversity of people to vote for. There are 10 people in this contest. The old people, young people, men, women, gay, straight, black, white, everything in between. So please get out and vote if you want to tell us who should be on the next panel for live feed correspondence.
Don't think I didn't catch that subtle campaigning that you did there, Brent.
Thank you. I try. Throwing you under the bus.
Brent's good at that. He's good at that.
Yes.
So let's keep rolling on. So we're just going to talk about what's going down in the BB house. What's the latest? What's coming up this week? Crazy, crazy week, guys. We've had lots of coverage because of this So You Think You Can podcast competition. We've really had daily coverage of BBOTT since the eviction last week, which is great. So it's been really easy for people to keep up with. But regardless, guys, I am still it's still hard to grasp exactly what is going down, despite the fact that there's all this information that is out there. Taryn and Alex, you guys were on with Rob on Friday talking about how this is probably the most complicated week in Big Brother history. Brent, we didn't get your take on that. What do you think about that statement? Is this week the most complicated in the history of this game?
I would say yes, but I would also qualify it with, I don't think that you can think too far ahead. I feel like you just have to vote for and nominate the people that you really honestly feel like should be up on the block and let the chips fall where they may. There's all sorts of plans and all sorts of percentages about, you know, who may get to play in the veto and who may not, who may be backdoored, but I feel like all of that's happenstance at this point. It's just, you have to just make the best choice you can with the information that you have, and whatever else happens, happens. That being said, I do have a couple questions because I'm getting them in my Twitter feed, and I have been a little confused even myself as someone who follows the feeds about what really is happening. So here's the thing. I have two major questions. I'm hoping you guys can answer this for me and answer it for the people who are watching the show. Number one, Shelby and Jason are each going to nominate somebody because by way of claiming them as a nominee. So there are going to be two people left after they make everybody the safe that they can make safe. And Shelby, because she was the first HOH, she's going to claim a nominee, correct?
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right. And then Jason's left with whoever isn't claimed by Shelby. Then America's going to nominate somebody, and then they have the veto competition with those five people, the two co-HOHs, the three nominees, and one other person drawn by random, okay? So Alex has, if she's not nominated, she has a 33% chance of being drawn from somebody out of the bag. I take that back because the other people's chips are in the bag and they could choose her as a nominee. Okay, there we go. So beyond that, so here's my question. What happens at that point? The veto is played. Somebody wins the veto. If somebody comes off the block and they can be replaced, obviously, if America's nominee comes off the block, they can't be replaced. But if, like, let's say that Danielle, who is likely to be nominated, if she comes off the block, who replaces her?
Whoever claims her as their nominee replaces her from those two HOHs.
Okay. And beyond that, going into eviction night, if there is a tie and the HOHs cannot agree on who to evict, which I think is likely at this point, how do we break the tie?
Whichever HOH does better in the veto competition will
break
the tie.
So not their nominee, it's the HOH themselves, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, cool. All right. That is what was confusing me because people keep saying that Shelby should nominate Alex because she would have a better chance of doing well in the veto competition, thus giving Shelby some power. And I'm like, I don't really buy that, but that's good if you can. It's good work if you can get it. But now I seem to understand everything, and so it's imperative, number one, that your side wins the veto. But beyond that, it's imperative, if there's a tie going into Wednesday night, that your HOH, your preferred HOH between Jason and Shelby, is finishes higher in the veto competition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Okay. So Brent, thank you for clearing that up for people who were unsure. Let's just backtrack a little bit. Last night was the first part of the safety ceremony. Alex Kidwell, while you were being rear-ended by another car, who was declared safe?
Was it at that very moment? No, I guess it was a little later. But yeah, Shelby saved Morgan and Jason saved Chrissy. So not too many surprises there. We do know Shelby is more protective of Morgan than Alex and has been for a couple weeks ever since she came to the conclusion that, oh, I think I can beat Morgan. I don't think I can beat Alex.
So that happened going into tonight. What is the game plan then for Shelby and Jason, Alex?
Got to think that Shelby is going to be keeping Alex safe, although that's the thing that has been, you know, kind of looming this weekend is like, will she make really what is a poor strategic move in her, you know, for herself and ultimately, you know, save Whitney instead. But it does look like she'll probably keep Alex safe. That is the, you know, the logical move and the most straightforward one. And then Jason predictably will save Justin, who is his other closest ally.
So if that's the scenario, then we're looking at Danielle and Whitney as the Big Brother commentator guy calls her all the time, which I find very annoying. So those two will be on the block. And then Alex, Jason is going to claim or Shelby's going to have the first pick. So I guess Shelby's going to claim Danielle as her nominee because she's more likely to win the veto.
That seems to be like the purveying thought right now. I mean, it's not set in stone, but yeah, that's the way I would expect it to go.
Okay.
So that's dicey, though. Just to like put a pin in that for a second. I mean, if she claims her as her nominee, that's great. But what if, I don't know, Danielle senses an opportunity and specifically falls off, or it's, and by the way, Heath Luman has said that it's going to be an interesting balance competition, or that balance is going to play a big part of this. So I don't know how it's going to go, but Danielle may be willing to throw this. I don't know. I'm not sure about this idea of claiming Danielle as your nominee.
Yeah. Shelby has been talking about claiming Whitney, but they were recently, like as we were starting this podcast, having a discussion, maybe it would be better if you claimed Danielle. So I don't know how that conversation went because we've been podcasting, but I do think that she currently plans on claiming Whitney, which I do think is probably the better move, because basically what happens is if she claims Danielle and Alex is the one that is nominated by America, then she has much less power. It's much less likely that she can get power back in her hands. Because basically what happens is if she claims Danielle, then she can't take off Whitney and replace Whitney with another misfit, which means she can't alter the numbers. She can only take off Danielle and replace Danielle with another misfit. So the numbers stay the same on the block and for the votes. So that's the risk. Now, that's a great risk if Chrissy is nominated, because the numbers are already in your favor. You don't need to change the numbers. The other side is put in that scenario where they can't change the numbers to benefit them. But if America's nominee doesn't go your way, then you're the one on the screwed end of that poll.
And it's important to know that the misfits are hopeful, not sure that since Jason's going to claim Danielle, or at least make sure that she's not safe and put her up as a nominee, that since America can't nominate Danielle, who is perceived to be unpopular in the House, that America will then choose from one of the ball smashers side. And that's what the misfits are hoping for.
And the chat room is confirming that the very latest is that Shelby is going to claim Whitney. So, I mean, and since we are not too far away from that safety ceremony, so you got to think it's probably going to go that way at this point.
So if that is what happens then, Taryn, so then really, if Shelby claims Whitney as her nominee, then she's got to hope that Alex is not America's nominee. Otherwise, she's in huge trouble. That's what you're saying.
Claiming Whitney is the better option for that scenario.
It gives
better odds that scenario. Worse odds for the scenario where Chrissy is nominated. But it's the safer play, essentially. Like, they're giving themselves more outs this way.
Okay. And Taryn, let's talk a little bit about, if we're looking at a situation where we've got, okay, Whitney's on the block, Danielle's on the block. Whitney is Shelby's nominee. Danielle is Jason's nominee. We have America's nominee to come into to play as well, which further complicates things. You are the pollster, my friend. What is the what are the polls saying? What is your poll saying right now is going to be the nominee this week? Because I've seen a lot of Alex, I've seen a lot of Chrissy, but I don't know which one is really prevailing at this current moment.
It's an interesting scenario, and I'm very curious to see what happens tonight, because I'm going to put up my final poll tonight. Voting is going to open, and we're going to see what happens, because basically my preliminary poll said Alex by probably like over 10%, I think. A lot of other polls were saying Alex. Jokers was saying Chrissy, but Jokers was the only one. And even now on Jokers, the numbers are pretty even. They have like five different polls, which is annoying. But in some of the polls, they're very even.
They eventually come off with their main poll, don't they? Like after the nominees are revealed, then they put up their main poll.
Yeah, they'll have an actual final poll eventually. Right. But basically, it's looking like it'll probably be Alex. But there's something that I think a lot of the Misfit fans haven't considered, which is that it's actually not good for Danielle if Alex goes on the block. And I don't know if they've recognized that yet. I think they are starting to recognize it.
Oh, Taryn, I've been yelled at for trying to recognize it. So I don't know if you want to go.
And why have people been yelling at you, Alex?
Because it's complicated math.
Like, they think you're trying to trick them. That's what's happening, right? I almost said someone's name. There are people on Twitter who think that we're trying to trick them, and I'm not trying to trick anybody. I mean, I'm just telling you, like, here's who
I'm
you
a swindler.
Right? I mean, and these people on the panel with me, they're not trying to swindle anybody either. They're not trying to trick anybody. Continue your thought. Sorry.
I've been very upfront with my line of reasoning, the assumptions I'm making, and the math that I'm doing. There are literally thousands of people who can check my work, and like I'm not going to put something out there that I know is wrong when thousands of people can say,
okay,
this is so terrible. Why are you
Danielle
wrong?
In danger if Alex goes on the block?
Thank you, Brent.
So what would happen is if Alex is on the block, it basically means that either Alex or Danielle is going to go home. And it depends on which side wins the veto. Because if Alex gets taken down by either her, Shelby, or Morgan, then that leaves Danielle and Whitney on the block. And Justin revealed just yesterday, I believe, that he wants to take Whitney further than Danielle. I think there is a very large chance that Justin evicts Danielle over Whitney. I posted a poll about this myself. Overwhelmingly, most people think this is what Justin is going to do. He's going to vote out Danielle over Whitney. That's the only scenario where Danielle goes home, is against Whitney and nobody else, because Justin probably flips there. And so if you're concerned about Danielle's safety, this basically what this does, if you put Alex on the block, it's almost 50-50. If it's either 50% Alex goes home, 50% Danielle goes home.
Let me ask this question. So I'm currently campaigning, as is Alex, and anybody who has any sense is trying to get Chrissy up on the block. Thank you, Jordan. Is there any way on God's green earth that Chrissy can be evicted this week?
Yes. And that was the other part of what I had posted. If Chrissy goes on the block, I think that she is the most likely person to go home. That does assume some things that some people don't agree with. I think that if it's Chrissy versus Justin, I think that the
Chrissy
ball
versus
smashers,
Justin.
Right. So if
Danielle wins the veto, she comes down and Justin goes up in her place or somebody.
Or Whitney if Justin or even Chrissy versus Danielle, I think that the ball smashers vote Chrissy out. And that's because Alex doesn't want to vote Justin out. She said that before. She said she wants to get Chrissy out because she wants to strike at Jason. She wants to take out one of Jason's minions. We know Whitney doesn't want to vote Justin out. So if Alex and Whitney are both saying we'd rather get out somebody else other than Justin, I think that Morgan and Shelby will be like, fine, we'll take out Chrissy. She was nominated by America. We know America's vote's going that way. We'll just take out Chrissy. She's a number for Jason. That's how I think things are going to go. Even if you don't think that, though, basically the percentages come to like, it's if you think that, Chrissy's like 60% to go. If you don't think that, if you think they're going to evict Justin over Chrissy, then it's Justin 40%, Chrissy 20%. And the least likely scenario of all of those, I think, is if you think that maybe they'll evict Danielle over any of them. I really don't think that's true. But even if you do think that's true, it's still only 40%. It's still better for Danielle if Chrissy is on the block instead of Alex. So I think that presents a really interesting scenario because it's finally coming to like, it's the Danielle fans versus the Jason fans, really, because the Jason fans are going to be running this. They're going to be pushing for Alex because that's better for Jason. The Danielle fans, if they accept this logic, will be pushing against that. And they will be trying to say, whoa, 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 it might be good for Jason, but it's not good for Danielle.
Well, let's just backtrack a little bit here. So to just going back to what you said about Chrissy going home if she is on the block, I had a lot of people, and I will just to reiterate what Brent was saying earlier, talking about the, you know, campaigning for people this week. I have tried to stay out of the campaigning all season, but I cannot stand to live in a season or in a big brother world where Chrissy gets dragged all the way to the final three without being put up on the block by America once. I mean, especially with all of the you know, the farting on the pillows, which keeps continuing, the armpits on you know, people's property. Like, this just this biological warfare. Like, this does not need to happen. So I am campaigning for Chrissy to go up. However, Taryn, whenever I have said let's put up Chrissy on the block, I had a tweet that went out this weekend. People, a lot of the Misfit fans were very upset with me, and that's fine. Everybody has the right to vote how they may or how they wish. However, a lot of people said, well, Jordan, no, you're stupid. Don't put Chrissy up because there's 0% chance they go home. And to be honest, I kind of think that a lot of those people are kind of right, because if Chrissy goes on the block, Taryn, isn't, you know, Alex and those guys, they're going to realize, hey, look, Chrissy already has a care package, so she can't win any. She can't win one. OK, so that's one thing going in her favor. If they see that America puts her on the block, they're going to see, OK, well, America doesn't already like Chrissy, so she's less threatening. And then the other thing is that Chrissy, yeah, did she win a competition? Yes. However, that was a competition in which you had to roll a ball down a lane. I mean, it did not require anything physically demanding from her. It didn't really require any mental fortitude. She really is no threat whatsoever in the challenges. So if you are Alex and those guys, why would you get rid of Chrissy?
Well, basically, I think you said it. Like, she is a goat and she is Jason's goat. And I think that's bad for them. I think that they want Jason to have as many big threats surrounding him as possible. And they want as many big threats that don't get along, like Danielle and Justin, in there as much as possible. Chrissy is a loyal number and an easy goat to drag to the end. That is the perfect player to take out right now because it causes more discord with the other side. And as previously mentioned, Alex doesn't want to take Justin out. Neither does Whitney. And none of them want to take Danielle out. They want to strike at Jason because they feel like he is in control of the game right now, and they're not entirely wrong.
Okay, so interesting. I guess. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to stay tuned. It's a complicated week, but oh, yeah. I'm excited to see how this. Yes, is I'm very excited to see how this plays out. Personally, Brent, you've been tweeting. I tweeted once. A lot of people have been coming at you. What do you have to say in response to those people that are coming at you saying that? Alex has done nothing and she needs to fight to stay in the game.
I can't believe you people. Do you not watch the show? Do you not watch the feeds? Are we not looking at the same thing? Like, how can you say to me you want to get Alex up on the block? Look, Coco the Bear on Twitter specifically put out a tweet that said, you know what? I'm paying my $5.99. I want to nominate Alex. That's fine. Girl, good. You go, you do you. That's cool. I'm down with that. But these other people saying that they're mad that Alex has an unfair advantage because her sister is in the house. That's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit that you're totally penalizing somebody who's playing an awesome game, who's trying to use strategy to advance herself in the game over somebody like Chrissy, who has no regard for anybody else who isn't in her alliance named Jason, is a generally horrible person and is totally coasting in the game, not to mention the fact that she's totally stifling strategy, as we have pointed out on this goddamn podcast many, many times. So please nominate Chrissy and make me happy.
Alex Kidd, well, jump in here. What do you have to say in regards to this whole situation? Because you are also supporting a Chrissy nomination, which is something you haven't got behind really too much this season. So I'm curious as to what you think.
Oh no, Jordan, haven't you heard? I'm an awful, awful biased monster. The few times I do get involved, it's like, right, you're in a position where you shouldn't be having an opinion, and it's like, it's just a different season. We've always had opinions. Always. Every season I've contributed my opinion. It's just that this season there are people out there who feel like my opinion is going to affect other people's opinions and give the story a narrative that they don't want. And they just like can't bear that thought. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what – I can't listen to like Chrissy for more weeks and weeks. Like, and a lot of the arguments I'm seeing online, it's like, well, Chrissy's a goat. Like, let her be a goat for – you know, for the, and I'm like, this is the only season where we have a rare opportunity to take those players out, those players that don't want to play the game, those players that just want to sit there and collect an easy paycheck from yep. CBS every week. Like, why are we rewarding this behavior? We have the opportunity to send a message as to what we want to see from people, and people just don't want to go for it. And all I'm left to assume is there are that many people out there who, like, regardless of anything that actually transpires on Big Brother Over the Top, from day one to day now to day 90 to the last day, they want to see Jason win this game. And if that's the game that we're playing, then fine. But let's just not even put anyone in a house. Let's just give us personality profiles to look at, and we'll all just cast votes on those, and we can just go about our business. Because the gameplay didn't actually matter then, if that's all we're doing.
Taryn, you are a robot, so you've got a very astute analysis. A lot of people have said, okay, well, Alex, I want to put her on the block because she has an unfair advantage because of the sister twist. What's more unfair, the sister twist or the fact that the misfit side of the house has a returning player that already has a huge following?
Oh, preach! Thank you, Jordan.
Well, you came to me with this question. I think they're probably somewhat comparable. I do think that the sister twist is a pretty big advantage. I'm not one of these people that says I think that it's on the other people. I think that it's a hard twist to guess regardless. But you know, you also have to admit that Jason coming in with a built-in fan base is a huge advantage as well. So, I mean, I think both are advantaged in different ways. And that's, I don't know, it's my take.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. But Brent, I want to hear what you have
to say.
Well,
I don't understand why these people who think that Alex has an advantage, because the sisters have not been on the same wavelength much of the time, and they still don't totally trust each other. I mean, Morgan was actually contemplating the possibility that Alex might actually vote her off or put her in danger in favor of keeping Scott last week. I mean, it's just crazy to think about. On the other side of the coin, you have a fan favorite who came in with a built-in fan base in Jason in the house with Chrissy, and there's Chrissy in the diary room going, I know Jason's popular, it's totally cool, he's my homeboy, I'm willing to take him to the final three, I don't care if I win, I just want good people at the end with me. So you tell me who has the advantage.
I mean, in response to that, Brent, I mean, yes, okay, maybe the sisters are questioning each other's trust. They're family. At the end of the day, that is a huge advantage.
I'm sorry, are you watching the feeds as much as I am? Because Morgan has said out loud many, many times, like, you know, if she votes me out of this house, I'm going to make sure her life is a living hell from here on out.
But it's just not going to happen. They're family. I hope it does, so I can come
on this podcast and say I told you so.
I would say the better argument is that at this point in the game, Chrissy is just as loyal to Justin as Morgan is to Alex. Like, I think that's the easier case to make, is that, like, once you get to this point in the game, like, the familial bond may be unbreakable, but there's other unbreakable bonds now in there.
Yeah, that's very true, Alex. That's a great point. And I think the other thing that I wanted to say was that, you know what? Okay, maybe this whole sisters thing is unfair. Okay, yeah, it is unfair. But you know what? Big Brother is unfair. And also, here's the other thing, okay? The fact that the house is it our fault that the house guests are too stupid to realize that there are two blonde girls from the same state with the same last name? Well, they don't know Alex's last name, but the same initial in their last name. Like, they should have figured this stuff out. They've had all this stuff in front of them. I don't think it's a huge thing where it's like, oh, it's so unfair. Right? We have to put up Alex just because of this.
Especially,
no, I don't think we have to.
Especially after Big Brother Canada happened. I mean, Jason and there are other people in the house who are fans of Big Brother Canada, which I'm going to get to. to in a few minutes. But I just want to make sure that like we bring up the fact that with Alex on your show yesterday, when I was so telling, when you were talking about nominating Chrissy as a possibility, and you got a little pushback from the people on your panel, and you said to Amon, if Chrissy went home this week, is there anybody else in the house that you wouldn't be happy with as a winner? If we got rid of Chrissy, I could literally support anybody who remains in the house as a possible winner at Big Brother. And he didn't have a good answer for that. So there, bitch. Like, that's the reason why you should nominate Chrissy. If we get Chrissy out of this house, we don't have to live with her for another few weeks, and we're going to get a good winner of Big Brother regardless, and everybody who's in the final three totally earned their ass there.
Alex, any response to that?
No, I mean, I put that out there because I do feel that way. I mean, I really would be fine with anyone winning this season other than Chrissy, because I believe they've all shown some degree of effort to try to understand what this game is and play it in their own way. I mean, Justin is not the most strategic guy, but he recognized the value of his social ability. Shelby is clearly, you know, working. You see everyone this season making effort. Danny's always thinking. You see all this stuff. I think Chrissy, man, she cannot separate the game from real life. Like, how she feels about these people today is going to be how she feels about these people when the game ends. And that's a shame. Like, when I sit down to play Monopoly, I get competitive and I get into it. But when the game is over, we're friends. You know what I mean?
Or Mario Party, Alex.
Right. And to me, like, I know it's harder to, it's hard to like say that's the same thing, but it's the same freaking thing.
Mario Party is the same thing.
It really is the same thing, and it's just so frustrating to see when people just don't get it. It's 2016, okay? This is not, you know, this isn't 2000. Back when, you know, in Survivor or Big Brother, when, you know, people were like, oh, yes, like, we have to be, like, alliances, that's bad, all this stuff. No, like, reality TV has evolved. Chrissy, you need to evolve. You need to realize this is a game, and it's a joke if you're really going to carry over this vitriol towards people after it's over. Anyway, I think my rant is over in terms of that. Thank you for sorry for that, guys. I just had to let that out.
Since we were talking about Big Brother Canada and the brothers on Big Brother Canada, like Big Brother Canada as a whole, this was happening like a couple hours ago. And Jordan, I just want to see if this rings a bell with you at all.
I was going to do this too.
Right? Okay. So Danielle is talking. This is Danielle. Okay. She says, I just don't want it to be like, and she's talking to her ally. She says, I just don't want it to be like where, you know, the alliance. Remember that one guy who was like, I'm going to go on the block. Jason's like, yeah, well, they did that in Big Brother Canada. And then his best alliance member was like, I won the veto, but I am still going to leave you up there because I'm HOH and I can leave you up there and it will look great, look totally normal. Everyone else in the house was like, you're an idiot. We're going to vote out your friend. And Daniel was like, let's not do that. That's what I'm afraid of. Jason's like, not doing that. That's not us. They were too caught up in their own egos and thought they were running everything and came in. Oh, and Sarah came in and was like, I'm going to snatch up all these women and we're going to vote Jordan out. And I love him to death, but he had to go. Sarah Hanlon, you're a bad bitch. That's what they said in this house earlier
today. That was today?
Yes. Yep.
That is so good. That is so funny. Wow, Jason. I'm amazed that I would even come up in this house. I think Scott and Jason were talking about it earlier in the season too. No, that's good. Don't get too cocky, Danielle and Jason. But I mean, So Danielle, isn't she volunteering to go on the block or something like that this week, Brandon?
And it's not good for her to be on the block.
So why after hearing this would she want to do that?
Because they've been able to, because of the mechanisms of the safety ceremony, they've been able to sell it to Danielle. Like, girl, we have to put you on the block. Look who I have with me. I have Justin, who can't read the information card in the HOH competition. And I have Chrissy, who quit the last veto competition. Not the last veto competition, but the one with her hands on the wall where she's always complaining about it. Like, I have two terrible people on my team who cannot win a veto to save their life. You just won the veto last week. You just won the HOH competition last week. I have to put you up. You're my only option. I don't think Danielle likes it, but she's buying what Jason's selling so far.
All right. Well, I'm just trying to think. Other than that, Taryn, Alex, anything of note that you want to touch upon before we jump into the questions this week?
I just want to reiterate, like, I know you guys disagreed with me on whether or not Chrissy would be evicted, but I want to reiterate that for people that are fans of Danielle, it is still better, even if you think that Danielle goes home in every scenario and that the Ball Smashers will always vote out Danielle, which I don't believe. I think that they would at the very least vote Justin out over Danielle. It's still better for Danielle if Alex is not on the block. That is a solid like 50% chance she goes home. It is very risky. I want to make sure that information is out there, and I'm not lying.
You can check my math. You can check my math. If Danielle went home this week, I would be devastated. I really am. I love Danielle. She's one of the few people on the Misfit side that I really think is trying to work outside the bounds of her normal alliance. She's trying to do things. I mean, is she hanging out with the Misfits? Yes. But at this point, I feel like she has to. Like, if I was her in the house, that's who I would be hanging out with right now, is Jason, Chrissy, and all of them. But she's trying to work outside of her alliance and build new bridges. And I like her feistiness. And she's a gamer, especially since she got Shane out of the house. Danielle has really grown on me.
All right, Alex, what about you? What do you think about Danielle? Is Danielle grown on you too?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I think she still gets too caught up in, you know, personal stuff. But this is true with a lot of the house. Like, she still gets too caught up in, I think this person said this thing about me, to, you know, break down, you know, the walls and like just kind of like initiate a conversation, which, like, you know, maybe you can make the argument that, like, they should initiate the conversation. But if you're playing Big Brother, you should initiate the conversation. It doesn't matter who you is. Like, this is a game of diplomacy and making connections and, like, being friends with your enemies. If you can make friends with your enemies, you're playing this game well. So I don't care who you are. And, I mean, I think, you know, what I've seen today is a lot of, like, bait Danielle from Jason, which is working. Like, Jason is getting her stirred up by saying things like, those girls were talking and they're calling you whores. And she's like, they called me a whore? And he was like, yeah, I don't know, probably. And that was, like, enough to get her, like, on, like, an hour-long spin about, like, how much those girls drive her nuts for, like, talking about her in the other room. She's like, well, you guys talk about me, but it's, like, at least it's in front of my face. Like, they talk about me in the other. I'm like, there's no difference. And Jason really is just baiting you right now and spinning you in circles when you should be seeing a bit of a bigger picture at this point in the game. Being on the bottom of an alliance is worse than being, like, caught in the middle, to be honest, at this point. So, like, she would almost do well to just, like, publicly defect or declare herself a free agent like an Aussie at this point. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot that could be done that isn't getting done. And I think a lot of it is because Jason is still fueling a divide that works for his long-term benefit.
Yeah, that's my problem with Danielle, is that she's not seeing the obvious, which is that she's expendable. She's expendable from the Misfits. Many people on her team, they could really do without her. I think, especially like Justin, he's totally willing to take out Danny. Obviously, Whitney, who is sort of in the middle, she was sort of anti-Danny coming into this week. I feel like of the people that are on their team, they're willing to lose her. She should try to make a deal with Shelby and say, girl, you know, like, you know, you came to me last week when I was the HOH. You said that you wanted to work with me. You're now the HOH. I want to work with you. Let's do this. I would love to. I mean, oh my God. I peed myself if Shelby and Danielle worked together and got to the end of this game. I mean, that would just be amazing.
Yeah. And then we could have like a nice final vote at the end and be, you know, between worthy
competitors. That would be a tough vote too, because I love Shelby, but like Danielle is growing on me. So there you go.
That's what I feel like fans always say they want to see, is like, let's right? actually see the best competitor. They always talk about it. Let's work together to the end. But ultimately, the nature of the game is such that the prisoner's dilemma encourages you to take out the other best competitors before the end.
And by the way,
you can prevent that. That's the nature of this specific game. America has enough control to like see that competitors all make it to the end. If we want to go that route.
Alex Kidwell on Twitter reminded all of you people that you were the people out there who said that, okay, we're going to take out Scott this week, but we promise that we'll take out Chrissy next week, okay? Just give us Scott this week, and we'll give you Chrissy next week, okay? Where are you people now? Okay, come on home.
You sound like James talking to Vanessa.
This is the Republican Party. You got to come home to your party's nominee, okay? You got to get behind Chrissy here and just get it done. All right.
Yeah, pay the bill. The last thing I would add is, like, look, vote for whoever you want. I feel like we do reiterate on this show, but it gets lost in translation when we start talking about like this person doing that, and we interject our opinion and people interpret things. But I feel like we've all always expressed, please do what you want. Like, this is a game where you have a vote. Your vote is your vote. Use it however you want to. just, you know, factor in some of these other things. You know what I mean? Think about some of this stuff. And if the math, like in my case, is so complicated you can't really do it, start talking to people who can and, like, make an informed opinion. And don't just assume that people who are, like, giving you something that's different than what you already have are trying to trick you, because I feel like that's a really cynical view on Big Brother as a fandom. And on the other side, don't try to trick people into voting a way they don't want to vote. I don't care if you're a Ball Smashers fan or a Misfit. That's pretty weak to me. Like, everyone should be able to be a fan of this game the way they want and enjoy it in such a manner of their choosing. And, you know, I'll troll a little bit and throw some stuff on Twitter to engage in some healthy debate every now and again. But we're all fans. This should all be more love. You know, that's my message here. Peace and love.
One love. That's coming from Alex Kidwell after he goes on his after he's been on his love tour. Alex has been all about the loving. The other thing I just want to add is also, too, guys, can you vote this week? Like, actually vote, because, like, I always say, like, oh, yeah, like, let's, you know, I don't always say, but, like, a lot of time, like, I listen to the show and I'm like, oh, yeah, I should vote for this person, and I don't actually vote.
Yeah. Right?
Because it's so close this week, Chrissy or Alex, vote for your side, because I think it really is going to matter this week. So please, guys,
tonight. I firmly believe that the smaller the voting electorate, the higher degree of probability that Alex is going to go up. The bigger the voting electorate, the, like, more casuals that come in, let's say, oh, I hate that girl, she kind of sucks, I feel like Chrissy's going to be nominated. So the more people that vote, the higher chance we have of getting somebody who I believe doesn't deserve to win Big Brother over the top out of the house. Girl,
I love how we're in the middle of an actual election and you guys are encouraging people to vote for Big Brother.
I weave that in to what I'm saying. Like,
well,
I,
don't
you
forget
know,
to vote
there.
For the other thing. Yeah. Ideally, you don't do that in the middle of, like, you don't get so caught up in Big Brother that you're like, oh, election day.
Right?
Well, some people are treating this as if it's more important than the real election. So I don't know. Please don't do that.
And the really sad part,
December 1st, the real election will affect your life for at least the next 4 years.
Yeah, go vote for the real election first, then come back and vote for BBOG.
The really sad part, you know what, honestly, it's been bugging me, is that the Misfits have sort of, like, gotten the feel of the Democratic Party when they totally don't deserve to have it, because they have Justin on their team, obviously a minority, Chrissy, who's, like, totally out there, Jason, who's obviously gay, and Danielle, who's a minority. So they look more like the average Democratic Party than the other team, which is four blonde white girls. Or actually, Shelby's kind of blonde. Anyway, four white girls, let's just call it that. But if you, like, watch these people in the house, there's something more to them than their identity. And that's what I'm trying to get across to people.
All right. Well, I don't want to expand on the politics conversation.
Well, it's not a politics conversation. It's just that people are judging them by, like, there's four white girls. I don't want to vote for them. They're four white girls. They have, it's like white male privilege. Like, I don't want to vote for them. No, they're okay. They're cool people. You can be cool and vote for them too. Just like, I'm cool and I kind of like Alex, but I also like Danielle, and they're on two different teams. That's cool.
Yeah, and
there's
so much of this
podcast I'm just being silent for.
I also feel like there's a lot.
You can have a civil conversation about race and voting ways without getting into anything that I think you would get in trouble for. I just think it's the honest to God truth.
No, I just think it's funny, like, comparing them to political parties.
They are.
I think another element that makes this really charged, right, is, like, from the beginning, you had even the labels of the groups, the Misfits and the Plastics, right? Like, who isn't charged by that? Who isn't taken back to high school by the element of the cool, popular, like, pretty white girls versus, like, the people that don't fit in? Like, on just core principle alone, I would want to support the Misfits because I sympathize with that perspective more. I totally get it. There's a lot of factors at play here.
This robot does not understand your feelings.
No, Taryn is just compute. Like, does not compute. He's like, what?
I'm looking at numbers here. I don't understand.
Well, I sympathize with the Plastics.
File not found.
My chin isn't real, so there you go.
What? Wait, what?
Oh, you didn't know that? I had a chin implant like 8 years ago. Yeah, yeah. My chin's not real. I had a really small chin, like, about, and I had it bigger. So this whole thing right here, like, this is not real. Like, I'm like, what does Dr. Will call it? Like, circuitry and wires? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
you're real. You're real life plastic.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I live for the plastics.
So you got, like, the Buzz Lightyear chin.
Yeah. Well, I wanted it bigger, but he wouldn't give it to me. Damn doctor.
Oh. Okay.
I'm going to go full Jay Leno. full Leno. That would be great. Okay, I think now marks the time.
That was
where
the most off-topic I think we have ever gotten.
ever in the history of this show. In the 100-plus episodes of the show. Most off-topic. Okay, let's jump into your questions, guys. It's been long enough. This one comes from John Densford. John says, if Alex is America's nominee, can we pretty much assume the Ball Smashers have no chance of winning? Taryn?
Well, no, if Alex is the nominee, it's 50-50 that Alex stays. So they still have a very good shot.
I think maybe John means the whole game. Like, if Alex is going to get targeted now, are any of these, any of these players have a shot to win the game?
America's nomination ends, doesn't it, after this?
I said that because assumed that, and that may be misinformation. Like, I don't know if we're going to get a vote after the double eviction week. I really don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I do think, look, if Alex is the one that goes home this week, going into the double eviction, hard for me to see how, like, Shelby and Morgan are just such easy targets for if anyone else wins power. Like, these are just the two girls kind of on an island. I think it would be very easy. You'd be more likely to see a predictable outcome in the double if Alex goes home.
And just to be clear, like, I don't know if you guys discussed this on your podcast with Rob on Friday. Just tell me if you did. But like on Wednesday night during the double eviction, we're going to evict somebody. Then they're going to crown an HOH. And then for that next hour, you're going to be able to vote for the care package. Why are you laughing at me? What?
we
discussed it on my team, but we didn't. Go ahead.
Rob brought up something along those lines.
Shovel. Rob was a girl by, like, he didn't know what he's talking about. I love you, Rob, but no. Okay, so we're evicting somebody on Wednesday night. Then we're gonna crown an HOH, and after we crown the HOH, then we're going to have an hour to vote for a care package. Then that night, that HOH will nominate two people. Then the care package, which is the veto, goes to whoever gets it. The game plays out like normal. Someone else is evicted that night. And then most likely late that night, or maybe even the next day, they're going to have another HOH competition for the week that precedes it.
Yep.
There we go.
And hold on, just a quick breaking news are happening now. Friend of the show, Edward Morris, he just tweeted us. He said the America's nominee voting ends the week of November 13th. So there's one more
week
after this.
But America does not put up a nominee during the double eviction. They only vote for the care package.
They only vote for the care package. There are two nominees.
Okay.
Now, Brent laid that out, and I think, just to reiterate, just because, again, CBS hasn't done the greatest job of laying this out, I believe you guys said on Friday, Alex, that it's at 8 p.m. Eastern is when that one-hour voting period starts, correct?
That's when I think, like, the episode starts.
Okay, so the episode starts, then after that is the one-hour voting period, then it's the HOH crowns a person, or Taryn, you're looking it up.
Yeah,
here.
Somebody look at a schedule so we can tell people what the heck's going on. Like, we're trying to find out when the show is on Wednesday night, and then soon after that they're going to crown an HOH, and then the voting's open.
So I think the episode's going to be about 8 p.m. Eastern. You've got your first eviction happening roughly around 6 p.m. Big Brother time, so 9 p.m. Eastern. You've got your HOH comp following that. And then nomination ceremony. The voting is going to be between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. house time. So that is midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern.
Wow.
And then you've got the care package delivery, the veto meeting, the second eviction.
Does it say if the HOH that night is going to make their nominees and then we get to vote on the care package? Like, is that clear?
Yeah, there's a nomination ceremony between HOH comp at 6 house time and care package voting opening at 9 house time.
Fabulous. All right. Yeah. Good deal.
Oh my, so we're going to be just thinking about the podcast here, like, I'm going to die at school the next day. I'm going to be up till 3 a.m. Alex and Brent, you guys are going to be up till like 6 in the morning.
I'll be
Jeez.
Fine.
I might need to make a call to Rob and see if I don't know if I can get someone to fill in for me or something, because I don't want to stay up that late, guys.
Gauntlet.
That's past my bedtime. Or maybe I'll get Rob to phone my teacher.
Well, there are two people
school.
On this panel who have already hosted shows this week. It's not like
that
we're totally
true.
Incapable. I'm just saying.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. That is true. But I would like to be there if I can.
Yeah, man.
So we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
I,
like
I could probably wake up early and kind of.
Taryn could start his day as we end ours. Yeah. Yes. Sounds like what probably happens most days.
Okay, so it's going to be a really late night on Wednesday. I'm excited to see what happens here. But yeah, school Thursday is not going to be fun for me. Okay, let's take another question. This one is from Tony Scott. Tony says, at this point, is there a final three scenario where Whitney could win? She can't beat Alex, Shelby, Jason, or Justin for sure. Taryn, what do you think about that?
I do think she's gonna have trouble. I think that she's got the best shot against Morgan, and then if Chrissy stays, I think that's her. That's easily her best shot.
Chrissy and Morgan.
And yeah, I don't know how she gets there though. She wants to go to the end with Justin, so I don't see.
Well,
her doing
you know,
too
well. I will say that Justin has been annoying people lately, and he's been annoying me. Obviously, I didn't love it that he ate as a have not. He got in trouble for it, and then he ate again as a have not. And got in trouble for it again. And the girls are aware of this. And by the girls, I mean the plastics. And they're annoyed by it. And his own team is annoyed by it. Because Justin came out and told all of his team that he doesn't want to win the HOH during the double eviction. He doesn't want to be HOH for just 3 hours. That's totally beneath him. He wants to wait until the following week where he can be HOH for an entire week. So, of course, like, it's so funny. Like, Jason, Danielle, and Chrissy, they realize, you know what? We can't control him. Because, like, they try to tell him, this is a girl, this is a bad idea. Like, you need to go for HOH. But Jason's like, after Justin went inside, Jason's like, you know what? He's going to do whatever he wants to do. That's his own thing. We can't help him. So I think they've just kind of washed their hands of Justin at this point. So if he did actually vote against Danielle to save Whitney, I don't think that they would be surprised by it.
Oh man, that should be. I would love to see that. That would be. That would have some interesting ramifications. So stay tuned for that. Let's take one more question. This one is from Cam Perry, member of Team Brent.
Team Brent, good job.
There we
Cam.
Go. There's Cam. Cam says, "Speaking of Justin, what are the chances that Jason and Justin both survive double eviction night?" Alex Kidwell.
Not fantastic. I mean, as Taryn has illustrated, there are several scenarios where Justin could go home this week, especially if Chrissy is America's nominee. There are definitely scenarios where Justin's in trouble even before the double. Then once you get into the double, obviously, it's a big factor who goes home this week. If it's someone on their side, it becomes even more likely. If it's Alex, then, you know, like I said, I think Morgan and Shelby are much bigger targets in the double itself, just based on the nature of a double and how the house is already kind of split. But yeah, Jason and Justin should definitely be worried. I don't have like percentages on it or anything because that's way too many. That's like we're five variables away from there already and it's like 2 days from now. But yeah, I mean, it's they're prime targets for that.
Like total guessing, I'd say like 60-70% one of them goes home in the next two evictions.
That's a scary thought.
Well, let's
for
hope it's Jason.
Fans of them.
I'm really worried because if somebody on like if Alex or Morgan goes home this week, by some mechanism of America's nominee and a veto replacement or something like that. Given that Shelby can't play an HOH, that would only leave one person on the plastic side because Whitney at this point is totally flipped. That's another R happening now. Breaking news is that Whitney, like to the Ball Smashers, they know Whitney's gone at this point. I mean, they still will like are willing to work with her, but they realize that at this point, Whitney's not even trying to make it seem like she's with them. She's hanging out with Justin and the other people a lot, and I know Morgan is specifically irritated by it. So, but like I said, if somebody from the Ball Smashers is evicted this week, going into the double. I mean, you might as well just write the check out to Jason. I don't see any way that he doesn't make it to the end because there would be no opposition at that point.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think Jason's probably the winner.
That's what irritates me about this. It's just like let's just write him the damn check if that's what y'all want to do. Like, I mean, let's just like, you know, seriously. I love Shelby this week talking about Jason. She's like, I worked my ass off for that HOH competition, blew everybody away by a mile. Jason is awarded an HOH for being a bitchy queen last season. Uh-huh. That's what she said, and I'm with her.
Speaking of Jason, this question
comes
from...
speaking of bitchy queens, Brent, let's have a question.
That would have been better.
Sorry.
That would have been great. And now you're reminding me of something that came up in the pre-show that I can't stop thinking about. Okay, this is from Eric Cobrin. Eric says, has Jason's existence in Big Brother Over the Top ruined all strategic gameplay, or has it saved an otherwise awful experiment? Hashtag happy hour. Taryn Armstrong, curious to get your take on this. Has Jason ruined the strategy, the small semblance of strategy that could have been in this season?
No, I don't think he did either. I don't think that it's had as much effect as people say it has. I think that the Misfits were genuinely likable from the start, regardless of Jason's prior popularity, and then they lost popularity and they gained it back. I think that it's definitely given him a boost. I think it's been an advantage for him, quite a big one, but I don't think it's really affected the strategy of the season a whole lot. I think that's generally just been impacted by America as a whole and Scott voting Cornbread out. I think that had more of an impact, honestly.
It all goes back to that, the original sin.
Yes.
Poor Scott. Oh,
he gave
man.
America all the power.
He did. Yeah. And go ahead, Alex.
Well, I was going to say Cornbread has taken to Twitter. I don't know if you saw
that. Oh, yes. Did you see that tweet?
He's not looking back too fondly on his BBOTT experience, I don't think, as it were.
Oh, no. It was.
Might be a bit of regret there.
Yeah, didn't he say hashtag BBOTT is like a POS that needs to be flushed down the toilet or something? Like it was.
He called it Big Brother over the toilet.
He said Big Brother over the toilet is America's game, and it's all a bunch of like S words in the house. I was just the first turd flushed. I believe that's what he said.
He needs to talk to Glenn about sportsmanship.
Yep, yeah. I was just going to say that. Like Glenn has shown everybody what it's like to get a totally bad break, treated totally unfair by the reality TV gods, and walk out with a smile on your face and be willing to, like, you know, say lots of good things about your experience on the show. Cornbread, on the other hand, girl, why?
Although I did see that somebody was like, Scott was the one who did you dirty. And he did say, like, I don't care. It's all game. It's fine. So good on him for at least
all right.
Acknowledging that.
They're playing Xbox together.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I don't know. No, I made that up because he said he wanted to say, do that.
I was going
to
say, Cornbread does not know what an Xbox is. But like, what? Microsoft, what's that? The other thing I wanted to say, guys, was did you see Monty's tweet that Danielle's mom responded to, allegedly? Did you guys see this?
No, do tell.
I don't think so.
Okay, so Monty claims that he was playing dumb so that the girls could control him in the house. So that was his strategy. That's what he was trying to do. He wasn't trying to be a leader. He wasn't doing anything. And that, you know, ultimately he did go home. But like that was his strategy the whole time. So then Danielle's mom, apparently, I don't know for 100% if this is Danielle's mom, but allegedly it was in a Reddit thread that Danielle's mom tweeted in response to Monty and said that he needs to shut up and he's the worst player of all time. So, I thought that was...
You are the worst BB player in the history of time. I've never seen a bigger flop of a player ever. Hashtag Team Danielle. Hashtag that's my girl.
All right.
That was pretty good. I thought that was great. Okay, let's take another question. Again, speaking of alumni, this one is from Capester. Capester says, Scott said in an interview that he would come back for OTT2 in January if asked. Is season two a thing I'm not aware of? Alex Kidwell, have you seen these rumors?
I've seen the rumors floating around, but I don't know where they originated. I don't know how much truth there is to them. And I think Scott's crazy. Scott's not made for OTT, man. You learned this yourself. And then when there was like, when you realized there was going to be a final three, you just like actively decided you had no shot in the game. And so decided to start like being ridiculous. So I don't know. Like, yeah, no, I mean, it's Big Brother. Like if they asked him, yeah, you'd come back for sure. But this game is like, just a bit of a different beast. I don't think a Scott is really made for it quite the same way he might be for a regular Big Brother season.
Brent, do you support OTT2 happening in January?
I mean, I'm inclined to keep my mouth shut about this because of what I said about BBOTT1 the first time when I was like, I don't even like this show. This is a terrible idea. I don't want to even be a part of that show. And then look at me now. So, I mean, like, look, the show costs like $16 total to produce. So I'm thinking, I'm like, why not? Why wouldn't they have a BBOTT in January? But on the other hand, a girl does need a break. So maybe we're getting these new people at just the right time for the new LFC.
Right? Just give us like a C-list celebrity version. Why right? can't we do that? Surely we have enough of those. But like, I know Lance Bass sometimes tweets, and he's not C-list. I mean, but you probably wouldn't get him. But like, there's like people from The Challenge who like watch this show. There's people from like other reality shows. There's
right.
people from,
I mean, like,
we don't need to dilute the bloodline that far.
Oh,
I mean, we could.
Debbie
just
Downer.
We don't have to.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. That'd be fun. I would like that. All right. Whatever.
Taryn, do you, I personally don't think this is legit. Do you think it's legit?
No.
I mean, no. This is not happening. It's not happening. I think BBOTT2 in the fall next year. Do you think that would happen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I don't think that, like, I disagree with a lot of decisions that the production of Big Brother and that CBS make with Big Brother, but I don't think they are that, like, delusional that they think, oh, yeah, let's just do Big Brother 24/7 all the time, and that totally won't burn anybody out, and everybody will always love to watch it. Like, you know, they have to realize this is a really time, and, like, it really sucks up your time to watch this show, especially when it's this kind of version, and there's no way they think that people can survive an entire year
or just
a few more months of it.
To the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire craze when it was sweeping America, and ABC in their infinite wisdom decided to place it on ABC four nights a week because they thought America couldn't get enough of it. And I mean, like, don't put it above TV executives to be idiots. Like, they are complete and utter idiots, and they can run a show into the ground really fast. So I would like to think this isn't totally true and possibly just a rumor. On the other hand, I am aware that CBS All Access with their new Star Trek show is trying to make sure that CBS All Access really gets off the ground in a big way. That was the whole point of BBOTT. So if they're like if they're liking the results that they get from BBOTT, I can totally see them having a BBOTT2 in January once the new Star Trek is getting ready to get off the ground.
And here's what I'd tell
Star
them.
Star Trek and get off the ground.
If they made another OTT season or like another online season and they went in the opposite direction with it, with no twists and all strategy and super smart people cast,
stop.
I would be all on board. I would be on board. 100%. No, don't tell me to stop. I get to say what I like. You get to say what you like, Brent.
Go watch The Genius, Taryn. Go watch your reruns of
I'm with you in spirit. It's like you and the whole like final questioning where like you want like a whole 24 hours to question.
Oh,
and,
screw
like,
off with that one too.
Mary,
everyone
it's
wants
not
that.
Gonna happen. Ugh.
You know what? Right. If you don't dream big, then
that's true. That's
why
true.
Bother?
Yeah.
Exactly. Why bother?
Hold on, Taryn. The Genius got canceled.
Yeah, it ended. Well, it didn't get canceled. Like this dude stopped making.
No, spoilers. Thank you.
No, I'm not spoiling anything.
Well, okay, cool.
It's just like it got
creator
canceled.
Just decided to move on to other shows.
Oh, okay, cool.
Projects.
All right.
Okay.
I thought there was like going to be another version somewhere. Sorry, I know we're off topic.
The society game just started.
Okay.
Enough about South Korean reality TV. Okay. This question comes from, again, friend of the show, Edward Morris, Edmo. He says, should there be any casting twists on the next OTT season? Yeah, this is an interesting thing because, I mean, Jason came into this game with this whole over-the-top situation. He does have a distinct advantage over a lot of these people, like the sisters have over everyone, with the whole siblings thing. So would you prefer a season, Alex Kidwell, where it's just all new players and there's no advantages and they just, you know, see what happens and see who's popular and let the game play out?
You know what I want to see them do? They haven't done it in a while. That sibling twist. No, obviously. Yeah, no. Casting twists are fine. Like, I like them more. I have less of an issue with them than just major twists on the game, like an America's Care Package, an America's Nominee, an America's Eviction Vote, America Choosing Have-Nots, these kinds of things. But, you know, like, yeah, certain casting twists, it's at a point, it's like, does this improve the product? And ultimately, in a lot of scenarios, I think the answer is no. I think when it comes to certain choices that have been made, especially I think in more recent seasons, you just have to look at it and wonder, like, was the juice really worth the squeeze to make this your, like, quote-unquote X factor? I mean, some of the twists back then, they were so over the top. We talked about it a little bit on our show yesterday with the Cowboy and Nokomis thing. Like, oh my God, we have the same dad? Are you kidding? That's so crazy. Like, that is the most insane thing ever. And, like, Liz and Julia getting caught on day 9. Like, it's just such a far cry removed from, like, that kind of twist. So, you know, go to that well. Don't do it every season. Maybe like once every three seasons or so. But if you're going to do it, man, do it because you found people in casting that you're like, gold. Immediately you just knew. Don't try to like fit the peg to match the hole. I think that's the problem.
Brent, what do you think about that?
I agree with everything Alex said, especially about you know, trying to fit something into the hole. I mean, I'm a big believer in that. So you got to make sure that you do it right.
Yeah.
That was like, God, all three of you were just like totally stone-faced when I said that. You just did not give me the reaction I wanted at all.
I will admit, the problem is I'm trying to pull questions while I'm doing
this. Oh, okay.
This, so,
all right. I was looking at Jordan specifically because he usually laughs at my jokes the most.
Yes.
And I got nothing from you. Just nothing.
I'm sorry. Okay. And now I think maybe we've realized am I the only one that laughs at your jokes, Brent?
No. I mean, like, Alex tries to keep his laughter inside. Like, I can usually see him, like, busting out, but he's like trying not to make a sound. And Taryn's a robot. So, you know, there you go.
That's true. Very right. true. Okay, this question
about audio quality,
right?
Of course,
you got to peak. You got to peak during the laughter. It's a necessary component of audio.
Yes. All right. This next question comes from Sandy. Sandy says, Alex has been given major props by fans from the start for how great of a strategist and gamer she is. She started off strong, but her social game has been pretty bad as of late, and she even called Morgan out on her social game being as important as strategic aptitude. How do you view Alex's overall and latest gameplay?
Well, right. I feel like Alex would do better if he laughed at Brent's jokes. I feel like that's a better social game. I just wanted to point that out, right? Like, that's just an easy fix.
Of course. But sister Alex Taryn, of course, is who we were talking about.
You can go to Brent now. I just wanted to get that out.
Okay. Brent, I will go to you.
Concede that her, as Nad pointed out on Alex's team yesterday, her social game has not been on point lately. On the other hand, she hasn't felt great lately. She's not sleeping well. She doesn't feel like herself. She has headaches. Like, I'm not going to give her a total pass, but given that the lines in the house have been drawn a certain way, and given that so many people on the other side of the house don't seem willing to trust her as far as they can throw her, I sort of empathize with her, with the way her situation is right now. She sort of just is like decided that this is my bed, I'm going to lie in it. This is my team, I'm going to try to take them to the end. I do, like as she pointed out in her diary room, I don't know if that was lip service. I'm kind of thinking it was when she said that she was going to try to make inroads to the other side after this week. But I don't know if that was just a reflection of the fact that Jason got the care package or not. Let's see what she says after America nominates somebody from the Misfit side, namely Chrissy, for eviction.
I think there was like 3 weeks there where you had like Alex and Scott and Jason and Justin talking about we're going to work together moving forward. Like 3 weeks in a row where those conversations started and then never materialized into anything tangible whatsoever. And I think for both sides at that point, it becomes a bit of a like burn me three times. Like I'm not going to let myself get burned again type of thing. Right. Because, you know, you understand it's like Alex feels like she did a lot of work in week three and week four and week, you know, to like make these inroads and try to build these connections. And then there's nothing to show for it time and time again. You understand why people start thinking like, all right, well, the lines are what they are at this point in the game. I need to like start just kind of letting that, you know, exist as it is and start seeing what else I can do. And I think that's true with both sides. Like Alex has done less certainly in recent weeks to try to, you know, play the social game with the other side. But I think the other side has done that quite a bit as well.
Having said that, let's take a look at the evidence of those people saying that Alex hasn't done squat lately. So there are those people who want to, like, give Chrissy a free pass to the end for something that she hasn't done anything. And they say that Alex hasn't done anything lately. Well, show me that she has a unfair twist to her advantage. She had absolutely nothing helping her last week. Danielle was the current head of household. She could have backdoored Alex. Alex had absolutely nothing protecting her, okay? And what got her through? What got Alex through last week? Bitch, her game got her through last week. It was her going to Danny and making a deal, and Danielle deciding, you know what? I don't want to get rid of Alex this week. That was Alex's game getting her through the week. So, you know what? Like I said, I will concede the point somewhat, but you have to take a look at the evidence, not just at what you want to see. And Alex was a sitting duck last week. Danny totally could have backdoored her, and somehow Alex ended up on the other side of the eviction and was fine. So you tell me who's playing the better game.
I will say that, Shelby did have the vote canceller, and that could have kept Alex safe. But obviously, Alex's relationship with Shelby and the deal she made with Danielle.
Thank you.
Danielle didn't even consider nominating her, and she never even said, like, oh, well, I can't nominate Alex because of the vote canceller. She didn't want to. She never expressed that she wanted to.
And to criticize her for the fact that, like, Scott was, you know, basically willing to throw himself under the bus for her, like, sounds like you did something right if you've got a guy willing to do that.
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, that's a testament to me, to Alex's ability to rope Scott in and make him kind of, and spin him up and make him kind of throw away his game.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's
she knew, I'm sorry to interrupt. She knew what Alex knew what Scott needed. Alex was a gamer in the beginning. She went to Scott, she talked strategy with him, and Scott was like, oh my God, you're exactly like me. Like, you're the female version of me. Like, you love this game too. Like, let's work together. Like, she knew how to get inside his head, whether it was intentional or not. I don't think she ever thought this guy's going to be willing to fall on the sword for me. I think she just wanted an alliance partner, somebody to bounce strategy off of and somebody as a number. Instead, what she got was so much more, somebody who was willing to totally give up their game in order to push her and her friends forward. I mean, that's nice work if you can get it.
Yeah, and people were railing on her for, oh, she should have put Scott up. She should have kowtowed to the Misfits in week two when they told her to put up Scott, and she didn't, and that's why everyone was pissed off at her. But the reason why she kept Scott safe was because, or one of the reasons at the very least, was because she knew that it would indebt Scott to her, and that debt got her through a lot of the game, and it got a lot of loyalty from him. I don't want to just make this be like, oh, Alex is great. I don't think Alex is great. I think she's a good, a decent player. I think she showed potential in the beginning that was completely cut off, by week two because of what happened. And then especially when she was saved with the care package, which I was against, there's really been nothing but competition and just sides going back and forth. And really nobody has been playing much of a strategic game anymore at this point, which is unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, she's not as bad as people say, and she's not as good as people say, just like pretty much everyone else on this season.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's a big thing too, is that, you know, a lot of time, if you make a point about, like, Chrissy has done absolutely nothing this season, or, you know, whatever else, then a lot of people are quick to say, like, well, what has this person done, whether it's Alex or, you know, Danielle or whoever else. But I mean, yeah, right, the reality is, I think when pickings are this slim and someone's trying to give you something and someone else is giving you absolutely nothing, like, that's for me where the difference comes in personally.
All right, let's take one last question before we call it a day, guys. This one is from Iron Pony Chef. Iron Pony Chef says, if Danny goes out after asking to go up on the block, where does it rank as in terms of the worst BB moves of all time? Brent, welcome up.
I mean, I can't say it's going to rank high because the mechanisms of the safety ceremony this week with, you know, then one HOH claiming somebody and then whoever finishes higher in the veto gets to break the tie. I mean, it's so ridiculous this week. I mean, I saw John Densford on Twitter put up this like sheet where he like mapped out everything on a piece of paper and showed me like, this is what's going to happen. I'm like, bitch, this isn't calculus. This is supposed to be Big Brother. Like, I don't want to have to learn that what you wrote down in order to understand this week. That's why I waited to come on and talk to the podcast people, so y'all could tell me what I didn't know.
Cause he knew I had made one of my own.
Exactly. I'm like Donald Trump. Like, I don't read my emails. I just want to like talk to you, and like you can tell me what happened in like a 1 minute like tidbit. Like, that's what I need.
Brief me.
Yeah.
I don't think this would be a terrible move. I mean she did volunteer, but it would have happened anyway. Jason would have put her up anyway.
Right.
And also, it wouldn't even be much of her fault if it did happen, because she's almost, you know, she'd be getting screwed by the Jason fans, essentially. If they put Alex up and that sends her home, she's getting screwed by really, you know, fans within her own alliance, you know, rooting against her best interest. America's influence would have, you know, put her in a bad spot. And speaking of people on Twitter who put up some good information, not John Fincher, wrote up a very good, like write up about all the scenarios that are going to be played out. I didn't see it until after I'd made my whole thing. It would have made mine easier because he wrote it out really well. So I recommend everyone to check that out. If you're looking to like dive deep into what this next week could unravel.
So just to be clear, Alex's team yesterday, Amon kept saying that he wanted Alex up as the nominee, but he also said he was a huge fan of Danielle. But it seems like by him trying to get Alex nominated, he's going to put Danielle in danger. Isn't that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah. I don't think many people realized it because it is a confusing week. It is a very confusing week.
Okay.
And I also don't think people necessarily recognize, like, oh, if it's like, I don't think people saw the scenario where it's, oh, if Alex goes up and then the ball smashers pull her down, then Danielle is sitting next to Whitney and Justin is easily going to flip to save Whitney because that's what he wants. He said that's what he wants. Like people just hadn't really connected those dots yet, I don't think.
Right. And if you are somebody out there who thinks, oh, no, Jason will get in his ear and make sure that doesn't happen, you need look no further than last night when Jason can't even convince Justin to try to compete in the double eviction HOH competition. I mean, they can't even do that, much less tell him how to vote.
All right. Well, that is going to do it, guys, for this edition of the Rehappy Hour. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. People in the chat room, if you could give us some ideas for hashtags as we start to wind things down, that would be great. Quickly, I'll let you guys each have a final thought. We'll go around the horn one final time. Alex Kidwell, we'll start with you. Final thoughts on this evening, sir.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of wrap up the question that was just asked, I think when you're talking about kind of worst moves, you know, I don't know that it's going to be too easy for me. I mean, you know, maybe there's just too many variables this season, right? Like when you look at Marcellus not using the veto on Marcellus, there's one variable there. The veto, arguably two, the veto and Marcellus, but there's not a lot of variables to look at with Big Brother over the top here. It's like if Danny were to like kind of quote unquote nominate herself and get herself evicted in this scenario, it required a co-HOH, veto. It required a weird safety ceremony, you know, nomination bonanza. Like there's a lot in play here. You know, the tiebreaker situation, who claims who. Like a lot of this nonsense really does just throw wrenches into what is traditionally a pretty straightforward strategic game.
All right, Brent, final thoughts, sir?
I mean, I really do, based on what I said previously about the fact that Shelby can't compete in the next HOH competition, and if you evict Alex this week, I really do feel like it's going to be a steamroll. I feel like this week is make or break for the Ball Smashers, if you're at least a fan of an even game. Like, if we get Chrissy out this week, I can literally accept any one of these people as the winner of Big Brother over the top. If Chrissy stays in this week, I feel like we're going to be like that goat is not going to go anywhere. People are going to drag her ass to the end, not only because they think, well, she may be unpopular, but also because she can't win shit when it comes to comps. So they're going to take her to the end, and I don't want to see that.
Yeah, just quickly jumping in here. I'm with you, Brent. I will be so happy if Chrissy goes home because literally anything could happen the rest of the way, and I will be pleased. But I just cannot live in a world with Chrissy there at the end or with her. Who knows? Like, if Chrissy's at the end, she could win. You never know. Anything could happen. Taryn Armstrong, final thoughts, my friend?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm loving the hashtag war in the chat room right now. People are very passionate. Check out my poll. I'm going to be putting it up as soon as the nominations are finalized. I think this will be a very interesting vote to follow. I also want to plug that when we were in New York, we filmed, we streamed a game of Mario Party 2, and I cut down to the highlights, and I put together a fun little ending, and I threw it up on my YouTube channel. I recommend people check it out. I think it's pretty fun. So yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Yeah. I said some, harsh words about Luigi. I'm sorry.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. I'm sorry to the Luigi fans.
The Luigi
out there.
Stands are coming for your entire life.
Yeah. And it really was a really fun ending. So yeah, check it out.
Definitely. Highly recommend that. Okay. Hashtag ideas. And I'm sorry to Puya on the chat for saying, he says, I can't believe JP is anti-Luigi. It broke my heart a little. I'm sorry, Puya. I'm a Waluigi guy myself.
You're the most controversial opinion you have.
Yes.
Anti-Luigi.
Okay. Looking at the hashtags here.
I'd like to cast my vote for hashtag Taryn up my heart. I thought that was pretty good.
Okay,
good
so we one. Have Taryn up my heart. We have hashtag Frisky Biscuit. And we have hashtag Brent Leno.
Brent Leno's a good one.
Yeah, Taryn up my heart has to be it. Come on. Yeah.
Tearing up my heart.
The wordplay is too good.
Yeah, the wordplay is too good.
I think the wordplay is too good. So we're going to go with hashtag tearing up my heart.
I'm back in second grade.
Yes. Don't forget to follow all these guys on Twitter. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn, and I am at Jordan Parhar. And do not forget, we are going to be, well, I will not be back, neither will Alex or Brent, but tomorrow, Taryn and Team Taryn will be back for the So You Think You Can podcast competition tomorrow night on robbizzowebsite.com at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. They will be breaking down, I guess, the veto is happening tomorrow, is it not?
Yeah, hopefully, as long as the veto isn't like a 10-hour competition, will be coming on like shortly after the veto ends, so we will know ideally what's going to play out at that point, and we'll get to talk about that, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, so that should be a really good show, so make sure you check that out. It should be a really fun podcast. Again, robbizzowebsite.com/wrapups if you want to check that out. If you want to subscribe to this show, just this show only, you can go to robbizzowebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front, or you can go to robbizzowebsite.com/YT to make sure you subscribe to the video version of this podcast on YouTube. We will be back. Rob will be back on Tuesday with Alex and Taryn. It's going to be a busy day Tuesday with the election and everything happening, and then Wednesday we'll figure out what's going on with that schedule. I don't know if we're going to be going live. The time could change with the whole care package double eviction situation. So just keep it locked to our Twitter and robbizzowebsite.com to make sure you guys have a time. You get the right time for that. Normally we go live at midnight Eastern, but again, that could change with the whole double eviction nonsense. So just be on the lookout for that. Okay, guys, that's going to do it for this edition of the Happy Hour. For Alex Kidwell, Brent Wagamont, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag tearing up my heart. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.
Bye, bye, bye.
The theme song of the reality TV Happy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryaneldermusic.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.